going back through and listening to some of that old Chrome Daddy stuff. That's just remarkable. That's that album with the Lost Square Root on it. And,
yeah, Square Root of Rock and Roll. That was the one before Jim, right? That's right before he joined. We were trying to write songs and be a band that did stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't know anything. Traveled up and down the East Coast a little bit here and there, but mainly just a sort of a cult sort of regional thing. And that was a fun record because it was like there were some originals on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some very good ones.
The other album was more like just covers that we liked, kind of like our pinups or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Cover record.
Right.
But that was fun. There were some pretty weird songs on there.
Well, you know, you did some stuff that wasn't traditionally rockabilly, which I appreciated.
Never thought of us as a rockabilly band. I just have a rockabilly hairdo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I like
rockabilly.
Well,
that confuses people, Sean.
I know, but I tell you, honestly, I mean, the name Chrome Daddy Disco, it's just, it's a non sequitur. I mean, it's just
brilliant.
Nonsense.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole thing's just about soul nonsense. Punk rock and whatever the heck comes out naturally.
Original rockabilly had a little bit of Dada in it. You know,
well, absolutely.
Bebopalula. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, but my son's middle name is Vincent Forging Vincent.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, Norfolk, baby. I'm from Virginia Beach, so that's like a take a little pride in our Gene Vincent homeboy.
Right, right. Well, you know, there was a lot of great rockabilly that came out of that area.
True. He's just sort of the
he's
name.
The Ur guy, you know.
Sure.
If you don't mind, maybe we'll start with you just introducing yourself and what your relationship was to Jim.
I'm Sean McLean. I've known Jim for about 25, 26 years. We started out, I was the daytime guy at Sidewalk Cafe, and he and his friend John would come in. They were salesmen for style ads. And they'd come in every day for the most part, have lunch or just a beer after work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd shuck and jive and make good jokes. And we always had a good click sense of humor because Jim's a funny guy.
Right.
I'm hilarious. So between the two of us, we had a nice little banter most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And some years passed. And all of a sudden, I found myself needing a guitar for my band Chrome Daddy Disco. I was like, that weird little funny short weird suit says he plays guitar. I mean, I need a guy. Should I even? I don't know. I mean, we're friends at the bar, but would this be weird?
Right.
Gave him a little, put it in his ear next time I saw him. And he's like, sure, I'll come by. And he was in the band for 22 years.
Mm-hmm. And what was it about? Well, people have been talking about his musical prowess. What was it about him? He could just play his butt off.
Self-taught. Can't teach anybody anything unless you're a really quick and you can't teach me anything anyway.
Right, right.
But he could never teach me. He said, look, I can't teach. I taught myself and it's hard for me to teach things. And he goes, and I don't sing. It's not in my contract.
Mm-hmm,
once in a while, you can get him to yelp, but he would never sing for you.
Right.
But now he's just, God, he could just pick up, he could listen to something and play it. That's just as simple as I can put it. I mean, I don't know many people that can just do it that just well, but he was like a, it was just it was uncanny. He really had a great talent.
What about Jim do you know that others don't? Talk to me about something that hasn't been said in all these great tributes to Jim that we've seen and heard.
The tail was clipped, mostly removed, but there's still a nub. He doesn't like people knowing about that. But since he's not here, what's he going to do?
Right, you know? Right.
Now, let's see. Well, to me, I always thought, and I would joke him about this. I was like, you know, we all know you're in the nice guy business, Jim. But I know different. I've seen those moments that you can once in a while unleash. And and he'd laugh his ass off and say, you are one of the only few people I ever showed that side to. And it's very minimal. It's nothing.
Right.
I do more of that in an hour than he has in his 60 years. But he's such a sweet, loving, supportive, loves everybody kind of guy.
Right.
That when you hear him go, that son of a, you know,
yeah,
you're just like, whoa,
it's
wow,
startling.
Neat. And it was never anything that vitriolic or, and I would certainly never mention anybody, but I mean, just to see it was neat to know that, you know what, everybody's got a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he hit it most of the time.
Yeah, even Jim Wark has a moment.
Even Jim Wark, the sweetest guy we all know, and that's why this is such a earth-shaking thing. We needed that guy.
We're talking to all these different people from different parts of his life, and there has been some constants in all of those discussions, and that is Jim's ability to lead, his ability to collaborate, to bring different people together in the service of a common good. Did you see that? And if so, speak to that.
Well, I mean, I saw it in the fact that he was able to just roam from one profession to the next. Like, you're a salesman at Style, then you're the publisher at Style, then you're similar job at the newspaper. Then you say, you know what, I think I'll teach third grade for 5 years. I'm 50. And then he's here.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows a lot. His resume speaks for itself, I'd have to say. But really, in a more personal level for me, it was – I was a messed up kid in the sense of I didn't have a great father figure per se necessarily. Grew up with my mom, at the beach, whatever. She was great. But I mean, he was like this guy who was like a big brother and a dad all in one for me. He's only like 7 years older than me, but he always had the right advice. He always made me feel like I was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
He just always sort of gave me that sort of I believe in you kid kind of thing. And that meant so much coming from such a accomplished guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I wonder who will perform those functions now for us. What's the hole that he's leaving?
All I can say is we all have to take a little piece of that chain and carry it for him, because it's going to take a gang to carry the weight that cat did.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a PFL legend for nothing. Of course, that's his flag football league that he was a Hall of Fame.
I know. There's another aspect we haven't even gotten into yet. Was that whole world.
Well, I just wanted to make sure if he's listening that, you know, I mentioned his – he took a lot of pride in his prowess, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think he's thinking looking down on us right now? Do you think that he's embarrassed by all of this talk about him, all this conversation?
No. He was a Leo. And what I mean by that is I'm a Leo, and I know a lot of Leos. And one thing about Leos, I think, if it may get a little hippie.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just that it's like a guy, an artist I know who I think a lot of around town named Tim Harris. He does his great work.
Mm-hmm.
We're standing outside of an art auction once for Fox, and he goes, he was talking about something, and it was sort of almost like a very confident thing to say about his art or something like that. And I love his art. But yeah, I remember just saying, man, I got to hand it to you, man. You own that stuff. You don't just play Mr. Bashful and, you know, undersell yourself. He goes, hey, it's not bragging if it's true. And he didn't say that in any kind of an uncool way.
Mm-hmm.
He said it in a very matter-of-fact way.
Yeah.
He was just saying what was happening. And I was just like so impressed by it. I was like, wow, you said that about yourself? But I think Jim and the Leo thing is – if that's who I am, celebrate it. I'm not going to be embarrassed by this. I'm going to say, you know what? I did the right thing. He's a guy that grew up in a good Cleaver-esque way in the sense that he loved his family and he doesn't complain about his childhood. And he had everything he ever wanted and it was a middle class in the station wagon as it gets. And he doesn't make apologies for it. He just lives a good life.
Yeah.
Kind of like Seinfeld. I'm not a tortured comic.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Sorry. You know,
right.
he was just that. He's just okay. So I think he'd be like gracious, but not embarrassed.
Right, right. The music. Talk a little bit more about his abilities as a player and as a band leader.
Well, first of all, I'm the leader of this band.
Well, sure.
Let's just get that straight off the bat.
I know. But, you know, he was in other bands, too. And I'm
yeah,
sure
he was in a couple of the bands, so I heard. Anyway, this guy's legendary before I ever got a hold of him. I mean, he was in Janet Martin. He was in Lil Ronnie. He was with Billy Ray. I mean, he's been around, you know, mm-hmm. and other things before he even moved here, whatever. I didn't even know he really played guitar until I asked him to come to a practice once, because I'm not really into the 10 years older than me blues scene back when I was 28.
Right.
I know a lot of those cats now, and I've learned to appreciate a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But back then, I was all punk rock and Cramps and Gun Club, and I just want to rip a new skin off rockabilly and make it my own freaky thing, whatever.
Yeah.
But then he joined the band, and he brought professionalism to the band.
Mm-hmm.
I always had really cool, interesting players. But he was like, by far the most accomplished player, I would say, just and confident.
Right.
Confident and accomplished. There's some other guys. There's great guys. I'm not trying to short sell anybody, but he was, I think they'd all agree, he was special.
Yeah.
And he brought a new dimension of, wow, we can actually play. I just stopped writing my dumb little punk rock pretend songs, and we just started doing songs we really liked, because he could rip them so well, and they were fun to sing. You know, he could play any Elvis. He could play anything.
Yeah.
It was just
yeah.
so fun. So we just started playing songs that featured the guitar more, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I was more than happy to go along for that ride.
Any special memories you can share that for a mainstream audience?
Yeah, well, you know, I thought about that.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say about that. Look, man, with Jim, we didn't have, we're old men, you know, I mean, we didn't go out and have crazy times. Oh, that time we went and did that thing. It wasn't like that. It was more like you just looked forward to practice because at practice we were going to get together and we were going to talk about our left politics and how much, you know, we're mad at this and the news and talk about our kids and grandkids and just be buddies and have a little sage wisdom that always just sort of came off him along with the spittle from his just uncontrollably spittle machine that he was known for, you see. But, you know, it was just the hanging out, man. And it was more of a day-to-day just wonderful feeling than a crazy time we had. He was just a consistent, helpful, guiding, brotherly, fatherly, grounding guy for me that I always knew I could count on for so long that it's hard to imagine he's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
It was super. I know everybody has their own story, but for me, he was super important, man. More than he probably should have been. I mean, I was honored that he liked me, frankly.
Yeah.
He was just that guy. You're just like, wow, I'm so glad this guy, this good, he kind of likes me, and he actually looks out for me a little bit, you know?
Right.
And he shares art with me. We made music together. I mean, we call that art. I mean, just, you know, my kid calls him Uncle Jimmy. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Sean, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
I tell you what I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss hearing him talk. And hearing that lisp.
Oh, man, it's a character.
And smelling what he had for lunch, like you said.
Tasting it, Bob.
Tasting it.
Yeah. He's the one guy you'd never bitch about that. I mean, if someone else would be like, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a little confrontational.
Right, right, right.
With him, you're just like...
Yeah, just take it and go, you know.
Was that shrimp salad? Ugh.